Hey, my name is Launders, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast. Episode 62, coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, June 7th, 2017. The time, 8 p.m. exactly. We have a wonderful episode for you today. In fact, it might be the best episode yet, because we have a lot of audio for you. Basically, it's our recap of the ESL Pro League in Dallas here just last weekend. We were there covering it as official media members. So we'll go over that, everything there, play some audio, have some good times. But before we do that, let's introduce the crew. Of course, I'm here. My name is Tim. I'm the captain of this ship. But I can't do this without my two first mates. Anuj, what's up?
Hey, what's up, buddy?
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Good.
Should we tell them we had to wait exactly a minute so we could say 8 o'clock on the air?
Does that surprise you that I wait 1 minute so we start?
I know you. It doesn't like it. Surprise me at all.
Yeah, that should just be a thing. I'm not going to start at 7:59. I'm not a terrorist. That other voice you hear is Brett. Brett, what's up?
What's up, bud?
Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
You ready to talk? Let's do this. I mean, you watched most of this tournament this past weekend, so we're going to rely on you on a lot.
I watched half of the group stages because they were going on at the same time. Sometimes I was watching a screen while I had my phone in my lap, and I watched all of the, semis and final.
Awesome. Brett was our sideline analyst.
That's right. Really was. He was the glue that's going to keep this show together.
No pad in hand.
And of course, though, we are going to end the show with e-news, like always. But for now, let's get into the ESL Pro League Season 5, right? Am I lying there?
No.
Five. That started or finished this last week, and I should say we were there official as press. Thank you so much, ESL, for acknowledging that we exist. That doesn't happen very often, believe it or not. We typically get rejected. But no, it was great. I mean, I felt... take you through the timeline, right? So Thursday started, that was group stage, or Tuesday started, yeah. Group stage was there. At the Hilton in Arlington, we went there. As far as the setup for media, it was pretty weird. As someone, like, I work in radio, so I'm used to, like, professional sports and how they handle media, which is very sit here and don't move until the end of the game type of a bit. Where here, they were like, just kind of walk around. Just don't go turn off the computers and you're fine. Go talk to a player. If they want to talk, they'll talk. Now, the one thing I realized here, and maybe you guys can agree, or maybe, Brett, you'll have a different opinion, or maybe you didn't even notice it. A lot of people were complaining about the stream quality, not only in group stage, but throughout the whole weekend. And I feel like being there, I didn't have to mess with any of that.
I didn't even watch the stream, honestly. I mean, I was watching either them play. Like you said, we were allowed to kind of go around anywhere, so it was cool to be up close and kind of even hear them making calls. So we watched the game from a different aspect. So, yeah, I mean... Obviously, the stream quality didn't bother me.
Yeah, I mean, I watched a lot of the games just outside where they were playing group stages. They had two TVs set up. And on the TV that they had, you know, playing from a computer, it was fine. No buffering, really. The only annoying thing were the ads that kept popping up.
Yeah, YouTube's weird in the sense of it sucks. They'll play random ads in the middle of it, and you have to go and hit skip. If not, it's going to play the whole 30-second ad, even though you're in the middle of a round. It doesn't matter.
Right. Poor NRG Peter's dad would get up and hit
every
skip.
Time.
Have to
Peter's,
hit skip.
Peter's dad would get up and hit skip.
All right, so you know that wasn't bad. You know, there was a whole lot of deal there, but you know, I had mentioned that I was watching because they were on two separate screens all the way down the hall. So I was watching one TV, and then I also had my phone. My phone, I feel like that thing is like constantly buffering. It is painful to watch.
See, that might be more of device. Just a Wi-Fi, non-Wi-Fi issue.
Yeah, but on Twitch, when I watch CS on Twitch, it's
YouTube,
fine.
YouTube is higher quality just in general.
That's what I was going to say. I thought when I watch things on YouTube, like from my house as far as streaming goes, I feel like it actually physically looks better to me. I don't notice a latency issue because I'm watching on Wi-Fi at home, or, you know, I'm hardwired at home, so it doesn't matter. But every time I've watched YouTube, and I kind of even mentioned this to you, that the quality just looks better to me.
Now, to go off on a tangent not ESL Pro League related, who was it? Twitch just partnered with Optic, and Tarek just tweeted out saying, like, we got to get back on Twitch because the viewership is dropping.
Yep.
Which it's true. I mean, I've mentioned it before that even these weekly night matches in the league play, they're pulling about 20,000, maybe 30,000, which isn't bad, but I remember them doubling that on Twitch. You get that window shopper traffic on Twitch, and it's huge. Also, I feel like YouTube is a bit scammy in the sense of, like, you go on there at any given time, and you will see some low Russian streamer, no joke, streaming while hacking, playing Counter-Strike. Like, the dude, I watched one today. The dude is seriously setting up his aimbot, his spin bot, everything, and that's what his stream is. It's him going into matchmaking, hacking. And I just feel like Twitch, I know, will ban him. Like, if you're hacking while playing a game, Twitch kind of frowns upon it. I guess YouTube does not care. No, so I just feel kind of dirty watching them.
They're not a
on YouTube.
They have a wide format.
Yeah, like, but I mean, it's just
if they allow it on there. Or maybe they don't allow it, they just don't care to traffic it or monitor it. That's Counter-Strike's problem. You know, get a better anti-cheat where it's not that easy to hack. I get it. If they're doing it, don't watch them. They probably have such few viewers
anyway.
Do.
I mean, it's a minuscule thing to complain about. It's just, I feel... I didn't like it when they switched over to YouTube just for the sake of the YouTube gaming website is horrendous.
Yeah, Twitch's layout is so much better.
You will have a game with 30,000 people watching it, and I have to click like four different times to even get to that game. It's terrible.
You send me the link for one of the matches. I was like, dude, I can't find it on the website.
Yeah, no, the YouTube in general is not good, but again, that's neither here nor there. I will say just some observations from group stage being at the Hilton. Observation one, NA players yell a lot more than European. The EU players, they're like silent while playing. Their call-outs, it's like one dude.
But they erupt when they win.
When they win, they're loud.
Yeah.
NA, the myths and what you hear are true, that everyone's yelling. it's not, hey guys, they're at A. It's like, it's A. Like over and over. And it's exciting, but it's true.
Yeah, and you know, I was watching games right outside where they were playing games. I mean, they're set up in one room, just on the other side of the wall. I'm watching matches. And I was watching a Liquid game. And you could just hear the guys like, rah! I'm like, well, Liquid just won this round. Yeah. Like, I already know.
Number two. Professional gamers, especially European gamers, will be dead by the time they're 40 because they smoke more than anyone. Like, after every match, they will put down 2 to 3 cigarettes.
Not counting what they're drinking.
Yeah, not like counting, yeah.
Two Red Bulls a match, and it's like...
Very unhealthy. You know why professional gamers all look like they're in shape? Because they can't afford not to be. Like, if they don't work out,
they're going to be looking like pimp pre-Liquid days.
It is not going to be pretty. Observation number three from group stage. French people love to swim.
Oh, yeah. What, it was like 4 hours?
Envy and G2, I kid you not, were in that pool for like 4 hours. Their all matches were stage. Done. They were group A. They were out of it. They were done with their group play. we got there at like 3 or 4 o'clock, and we left at like 9, and they were still out there.
Like some of them were still sitting out there at least.
It was insane. And then we were just sitting, like, not that I was going to talk to any of them in group stage, because it was really awkward. Like, it was so casual, it was awkward.
Yeah.
But they do like to swim.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they don't have pools in France.
Well, I mean, everything's so on top of each other in France, and it's like you come to Texas and everything's so spread apart and big.
The weather was good, though. It's like 2 days, you know?
Yeah. True. It was before all the rain. It was funny to see some of their reactions when they were like, oh, yeah, I like Dallas. And then you tell them, like, you're like 30 minutes away from Dallas, dude. And they're like, huh? Yeah, this is Arlington.
I do have another observation for you. Okay. Observation number 4, Tarek's keyboard is the most crooked POS I've ever seen in my... I mean, he must have broke his wrist or something at some point. How do you play?
It's at kind of a 90 degree.
Directly.
No, you can see this, right? Like anybody who's watching a stream can see how Tarek's keyboard is. Like you normally have some tilt, but his is straight.
Seeing it in person, I was like, oh my gosh, it's like straight up in front of him.
Yeah. Looks very uncomfortable.
It works for him though.
Yeah, you know, it's well, does it? Does it work for him?
Shots fired. God, Tim.
Tarek, I love you.
Yeah, we love you, Tarek.
That's group stage. I don't want to break down the play of it just because at this point that was almost a week ago. Yeah. And who cares about group stages at these tournaments once they're all said and done? Nothing was really exciting. I think my predictions were pretty on point.
I would disagree, but yeah, they were there.
Disappointment in Cloud9 not even making it out. In fact, getting last place... unless you want to include NRG, but...
Yeah.
Them not doing well on land really shocked me this time.
No, I did say... Yeah, right. I'm sure it did. I will say, though, and I did say going ahead of time, that Cloud9 does not work in best of ones. They need
best of three.
Yeah, they need that map to realize what went wrong the first time and kind of counter strategy. And it didn't work out. Maybe next time. Probably not.
What was... Anything else interesting happen at...
I think group stage was pretty straightforward. I mean,
what about Daps?
Oh, yes, Daps. How could I forget? So we always go around to these players, and at group stage, like I said, it was very casual. We ended up interviewing Zeus of Team Liquid after they won. Anuj was supposed to interview Simple, but they ended up losing and getting knocked out, and that was really fun to watch you try to go up to him after they lost.
It wasn't a good time, but there's a redemption story that comes
there
later.
There is. You did kiss and make up with Simple. Now, so we always go up to these players and ask for liners. Like, no matter what, hey, you might not want to talk. That's okay. I don't really want to talk to you right now. Anyways, give me a liner. That's all I want. And everyone knows we play the liners at the start. It's this bit right here.
Hey, this is JDM, and I'm listening to TCR.
He's listening to TCR.
He's listening right now. You just heard it. And so we ask him for that. Daps... NRG, of all the teams to have this...
0-5, just so you know.
0-5. Anuj goes up to Daps and says, hey man, big fan, can I get a liner? And he asked, what was the exact wording?
He goes, do I get paid for this?
No. Like, bro, this is like 3 seconds out of your entire day.
And I let him know he does get... I mean, he's definitely getting something from it.
Well, the huge listener base.
The exposure we give out for free when we do that. You're welcome.
So he'll have at least 10 more people.
Minimum.
Know who he is. Daps on NRG, everyone. That's the man. So go buy his
It was pretty funny. I mean, maybe I can't hate on him too much. He's probably never been asked for a liner, but...
It's just, I've never been asked for that, the radio world. That's so weird.
I'm so glad it was Anuj. Like, if it was going to be anybody in the group that happens to, it's better that it's him, because if that happened to me, I'd be like,
yeah, here's $5.
here's $1.
No, I should have told him. I go, yeah, you get exposure. I go, that's what you get.
Yeah, I mean, that's so weird. Like, man, even if I broke this down percentage of how much time this is taking up compared to the rest of your day, you would maybe get 3 cents. It is what it is.
Good news is,
he did
it.
We
got the liner.
He did it. He didn't turn us down when we said no, but it's just a funny little outtake of the weekend. Now, moving on, though, to the Verizon Theater. That was Saturday and Sunday. That's where playoffs started. Well, that's where the semifinals started. Technically, playoffs were on Thursday at the Hilton still, but no one cares. So on the weekend, we went to the Verizon Theater, which at first I was worried how it was going to be set up. Just living in the area, we all know Grand Prairie. It's not much to write home about. You literally have, it's very open. You have a horse racetrack, a minor league baseball team, and then the Verizon Theater, and then there's a gas station on the corner. That's really the entire city. Oh, and Ripley's, believe it or not.
And a Whataburger.
And a Whataburger. So it's really the entire city of Grand Prairie, and you visit it. But that's where they were doing it at. I was actually very surprised with it. Like, to the point to where if they ever have to do another tournament here, I would like it to be there.
Yeah, the setup was really good. It was a clean setup. Where the press booth was, it was right on top of the venue, essentially.
Which
you would kind of want that to be a little bit more quiet, ideally. Like
ideally, but at the same time, it was very convenient. You just take the elevator, you take the door. It was very convenient. Now, if they ever want to expand it, though, that can't happen because they basically shut off, they roped up the upper seats.
Yeah.
So that will probably change in the future.
It's not going to be big enough for a major.
No, not even.
DreamHack tournament. We'll see. DreamHack wouldn't do it there either, though, because they need the BYOC area.
Yeah, and they wouldn't do it. But overall, the venue was very good. Inside the actual theater part, though, where you could sit down and watch the game, again, just talking atmosphere. We'll break down the game here in just a moment, but I want to get the little things out of the way. It was really loud. Maybe I'm an old man. Maybe I have sensitive ears. But like all this drama going on now where the players are all of a sudden coming out saying, yeah, we can basically hear everything.
That's good Texas fans right there for you.
But it's not a surprise. I mean, me and Brett were sitting there watching the game thinking like, hey, could you guys like turn this down just a smidge? Just a smidge. Like the music is so loud. I should still be able to talk to the person right next to me. It was pretty loud. I think if they just turn it down, you could probably get away with not soundproof booths and everything.
Did you hear people yelling bomb sites? Because I really didn't feel like I heard that. I wasn't down there as much as Brett was.
People on the stream said that they saw it. Okay. You now for reference, me and Anuj were up in the press area a lot. Like we only watched the finals in the stadium, really.
Yeah.
And bits one and liquid match and here and there. But we were in the press room. We were doing a lot of the interviews and everything there. Brett was our man on the streets. He was inside the venue.
Our freak in the sheets.
So all right. So I sat in the bottom part, you know, closer to the stage for the most part. And honestly, I couldn't hear anything. So maybe the people that were being, you know, buttholes.
Were like right near the crowd mic or something.
They were probably near a crowd mic. Yeah, because I was sitting up close and I couldn't hear anything. Nobody yelling out bomb sites. And you notice that none of the actual players said, yeah, I heard somebody yell that they were going to Ace.
They said it after the fact. Like somebody on North had mentioned it. Maybe it was Cajun B.
Someone said like, oh man, can't wait to get soundproof.
Shroud said it. Yeah, and I think it was Cajun B that mentioned it. That was just a load of crap to me because
it's not so much the crowd noise, but you can hear the announcer, like the casters.
Right. Yeah, that's a bigger problem.
That's the thing. You can hear the casters. All you have to do is have one of your teammates hold his mic open, and he could probably hear everything that they're saying. Yeah. That's the bigger issue. I will say it does create some suspect, though, that all this is coming out after. Because I know if I was playing the game and I heard, like, say I was on Terrorist and I heard people or I saw signs that pointed out what site, because if the other team's hearing it, obviously you have to too.
You would
one
say
of
something.
Your teammates are going to hear it, or your coach is going to see signs or anything like that. I would stop the game down right there and say, I am not playing until those people are out.
Yeah, I agree.
If you're a player, you're not going to sit there and just let people throw up
signs
and
make
stuff.
It that obvious to help. Yeah. What one?
No,
thing
it's happened. I'm not saying it's not. I'm sure it did there. We just
BP
didn't hear
match
it.
Where there
that was
fans
signs
holding up
right.
signs.
And
right.
I listen. I've said it on the show since episode one. There shouldn't be signs allowed at these events, and there should always be soundproof booths. I've always said that since day one. I think it's. First off, the signs ruin our watching experience. For the finals, I mean, we watched the game and we saw it, but the second they won, this guy in front of me and Brett held up a giant sign the whole time.
Yeah, we were trying to take video, and this guy kept, like, bouncing in front of me with a you know, Kappa. And I'm like, come on, dude.
They do nothing for the fan experience. No one's not going to go because they can't bring a sign.
Soundproof booths. I read something where it said like certain states would allow it, certain other
ones.
Well,
I'm sure it's some fire code
hazard and things like that. So they, you know, where they can do it though, they should. Yes. It just makes it easy. You eliminate that problem.
And again, and maybe where they can't, you turn down the sound. People don't realize that how loud those casters are. Yeah.
I mean, and they're right next to the stage. There's speakers right on top of the stage, so that doesn't surprise me as much. One thing I heard on stream again the other day that I was listening to is Shroud was saying where it becomes helpful is maybe not if somebody's yelling sights, but if you start looking at certain areas on the map, whether it's looking through a smoke or trying to peek a corner, and everyone starts making the ooh and ah sounds, he goes, then you know somebody's there. And so he goes, that happens more than actual hearing go A, go B kind of thing.
And
you can't really stop that,
though. You can't really. I mean, that's just part of a LAN event that makes it different. Do I like it? No, but that's just because I'm a purist. And I would eventually, like, you're going to get soundproof booths with, you know, two-way or one-way mirror, right? That eventually you're going to have people crying for that because you're going to complain that the fans can see.
Yeah. But just like an NFL whatever. Game, but if somebody throws the ball deep and the cornerback doesn't know it's in the air, but you hear a roar coming... You know,
it's
it
just it is what it is. It's part of the LAN event experience.
Yeah,
it is what it is. That's not. I don't feel that is. But now yelling out bomb sites, that's not cool.
Oh yeah, you should get kicked out for that.
Now, moving on though to the actual game, we had for the finals, we had G2 versus North. Now there was a lot of build up here. I guess, Brett, if you want to start off, MVP was Kenny S.
Right.
But I know you were even saying that Body had a pretty good case for it.
Right, yeah. I mean, my MVP for that team was Body. Especially on CT side, I felt like, I mean, constantly was seeing his name like two or three times around on the kill feed, just destroying dudes, anchoring down one site. So, I mean, for me, it was definitely Body, but you can make an argument for Kenny S as well.
Kenny S was fragging as hard, I think, where the difference came up. And I agree with Brett. Body had probably the most impact for his team as far as like just overall frags, and he just plays a support role, so he's also got to be kind of in line with everybody. Kenny S made superstar plays, though. I mean, there were some spots where... You saw him with the op on, what was it, Overpass, and he was, you know, coming onto site at B, and he makes the triple kill right there to clutch the round. There were just more memorable moments from him, but Body played good enough to win the MVP as well.
I guess for me, I mean, if you wanted to break it down, like, Body being the MVP of CT side and Kenny S being the MVP of T side.
Yeah.
Like, getting those picks and being able to open up
They looked good, site. Man.
Oh, yeah, they looked
They looked really good, and especially... You know, I guess this was kind of like best scenario as far as a grand finals could go. It's kind of a shame Liquid didn't play as well as they did throughout the tournament or leading up to it even. Because in front of an NA crowd, I felt like the hype never quite got there. Like, Liquid never really gave the crowd a chance to get to the level that they probably wanted to
be.
The
problem was it started off on Nuke first for them.
Which was their pick, though.
It was their pick.
It was their pick against North.
Who North is, you know, for those of you that don't know, North plays Nuke a lot. They were one of the first teams that put it into their rotation. That was obviously with Ruben or Robin, you know, that was on their team at that point. But they were like a really good Nuke team prior. And it started off so bad.
It
was like 8 or 9-0 to start off the game? Yeah, and it was just... The fans were just out of it at that point, and you know they never made it interesting enough to really get them back in.
Well, no. I mean, if it did anything, it created a villain, for sure.
It did, yeah. And I mean, it was that created the villain. It was
Config yelling what
Config,
he was yelling.
It was Kenny S. We interviewed Shox. This was Saturday night.
Yeah, this was day one,
Saturday night after they've already qualified for the finals. That's what it was.
It was before the Liquid North match.
Well, it was during Liquid North match.
Yeah.
It was on map two because we asked Shox, basically, who would you rather play against? Would you rather play against Liquid or North? And he said North, and he basically dove a little deeper in on the whole hatred between them, so take a listen.
North is gonna be really weird if we play them, because honestly, we don't really like them.
Any particular reason why?
They are really feeling like they are way too much arrogant, you know. And I don't know why they are like this, honestly. I mean, I've been now on the top scene for years and years. Even when I lost or whatever, I had big memories with my opponents, checking hands, being happy for them, like you were better this time and stuff like this. But with their attitude, you can't expect us to have the same mentality, you know? Like, they are not friendly, they are arrogant, they are acting like they are winning since 10 years. And even if you win 10 years, like, just be modest, you know? Remember in the past, teams like NIP or even SK, when they were dominating or whatever, they are not like this.
And that was kind of just more of a backdrop of what's been going on the whole weekend. You know, they, like we said earlier, there was a lot of smack talking going on between the teams on stage, on Twitter, basically anywhere you had that smack talk going on. I know people were trying to make a big deal out of it, saying like, oh, it shouldn't be in there. I don't know if anyone really thought it shouldn't be. I mean,
it was fun.
I didn't have an issue with it. I think it's
builds rivalries.
You're competitive. You're not supposed to get along with everyone.
So, and I talked to you about this. It feels forced because, I mean, it just feels like wrestling, like a wrestling storyline. And even after the event, Config was like, well, I deserve this. GG, you know, G2, Kenny S, you are the best player.
I don't think it's fake, but I definitely think it's, I mean, it's like any of us, right? You're going to talk smack. You're going to do everything in a Counter-Strike game. Hell, I played Overwatch before I got here, straight up yelling and everything, talking smack. And then after you turn the game off, you're like, that's done.
It just kind of built upon itself.
Let's
move on. One person said something, and then it carried over. And talking to Shox, I definitely believed he felt what he was saying.
No, I agree. I think they're arrogant, but at the same time, I don't think it's like they have some fire burning
like
inside
a true
of them.
Hatred. Right. It's just a lack of, they just don't respect each other, and it's like,
that's fine.
So hey. So let me, like, just to clarify things, I don't think Shox, like, that was kind of over the top.
But the on stage.
It's more so Config.
Yeah.
That's what I'm referencing is Config.
Like cursing on stage into the mic just to get attention.
Tell him he's going to, like, F up.
These guys are smart. They know what they're saying. So when they say something like this, it's to become the top post on Reddit. It draws more attention to them. Same reason.
It's them having fun.
Exactly like why Config would pull out a knife in a major event to knife somebody while they're defusing the bomb when it was risky. It's just, hey, it's a little extra. It's not a bad thing for the game. If anything, it drew more attention to it and made it a bigger story than it needed to be.
Now, obviously, G2 ended up winning it. Going down the order here, though, G2 was first, North was second, obviously, as we just mentioned. SK and Liquid ended up taking third and fourth. So, it's weird, and again, this is probably for me just being more caught up in the press side of it this time around. SK really had a quiet tournament. They didn't make a splash anywhere, other than they kind of had a rough group stage.
Day two of groups were good for them. Day one was bad. They obviously, you know, beat Mouse in the quarters, which was a good victory, but it was like an alter ego. Every other day was like the bad, you know, SK that nobody's used
to seeing. They couldn't find the rhythm.
Yeah, yeah. But when they had it, you could see it. It was on for spurts. They just couldn't keep it consistently going.
And they didn't even stick around for interviews. No, so they definitely were not having it.
Yeah, I mean, to me, just watching them, they didn't really feel like themselves. Like, I gave you guys one stat. It was like, they didn't have an op buy for like the first 10 rounds of one match. It's like, you have two of the best oppers in the world. What are you doing? Why are you forcing every round? It just felt weird.
So they just had an off weekend, almost like they were prepping for maybe Cologne. They're already two tournaments ahead, and
this was a big tournament.
I mean, it was.
They were defending champs.
This is
or two years ago, I guess they won. And
I know people always complain about the lineup, which we'll get to. We have audio and we talk to a lot of players about the format of the tournament. So we'll get into that here in just a second. I just want to run down the standings and where everyone ended up. Mouse Sports and Team Envious ended up taking 5th and 6th. Overall, see, I almost think that's weird to me that they ended up 5th and 6th and Liquid and SK ended up 3rd and 4th.
Mouse looked like the third best team to be
right,
out there.
Exactly. Like, I felt like they had it. Envious, I don't know if they played that well or if it's more so just the fact that it was surprising that they played that well. It might just be the shock factor making me think that they played better than what they did, but for...
They were in
for
the
how,
group of
how
death,
much they were struggling. Oh no, they yeah. advanced. They advanced out of group. They made the playoffs.
Well, they were in the more difficult group too, weren't they? Or no?
Yeah. Yeah. They were in group A. Yeah. Both French teams were in group A. There, you had Fnatic, another one that. So they had a quiet weekend as well. They did have to play the tiebreaker though against Envious. So they kind of had a tough break, and I think that left them salty. They also left before any type of press or anything was allowed to talk to them.
They weren't really interacting.
They weren't. I mean, even at the hotel, you saw them once.
I barely saw them at all. I mean,
and it was weird. It was one of those things, like, as they were walking by, I was like, man, that guy looks familiar. And I'm like, oh, wait, that's JW. They just, I don't know. I felt like, and I know they talked about it with people afterwards, how they don't like the tiebreaker rules or anything like that. But it is what it is. Optic Gaming ended up also taking, like I said, 7th and 8th place, tying it with Liquid. Kind of a fun storyline in the sense of Liquid helped Optic qualify for the tournament.
No, Optic helped.
And then they returned the favor, helping Liquid advance
into the
playoffs.
Yeah, that was funny to.
That was really good.
Watch.
And really, they needed Liquid to lose because if Liquid lost, it would have been a tiebreaker again.
Well, I think the way it worked out, it didn't matter because of the other match.
Well, no. It would have made it messy. Yeah. I honestly don't know how it would have worked out in the end because three teams would have been tied and it would have been.
Yeah, Tarek mentioned it in the interview, remember, where he was like, you know, we actually needed them to lose, but if we were going to help somebody out, you know,
might as well be them.
Yeah. It was funny watching, you know, the Optic guys like, hey, you're welcome.
Yeah, it was great.
By the Liquid guys. Yeah, you're welcome.
If you go on our Instagram, just the_center_ring, you'll see we posted videos from the weekend, and one of them was that winning moment, and you can see all the players talking to Optic in the background and everything. That was great. Immortals and Na'Vi ended up taking 9th and 10th. This is about the only prediction that I had correct, and that was Na'Vi just playing very poorly.
Now,
I think both of you had Na'Vi advancing out of...
A little misleading to say they played poorly. They lost one match badly, and that was to Optic. I think it was like a 16-8 finish. They had one overtime match. They had one 16-13 or 16-14 finish. So they were in every game that they played. And then I believe they beat...
They started...
G2, I think, was one of the teams they actually ended up beating.
They started off just kicking the crap out of Liquid.
Would you like to know a fun fact? They actually had a positive... round differential.
Yeah.
68-60. And they ended up doing... Also, fun fact, G2, who ended up winning Group A, negative. They were 62-63.
I think they got spanked, but I think Na'Vi was one of the teams that beat them, and then there was a...
Cloud9 ended up beating them, too.
That's right.
You know, like I said, I guess they didn't play poorly, but...
They were in the weaker group, so they definitely should have advanced out of that group. There's not many excuses for not advancing out of that group when you
I was not expecting
naughty.
North to play as strong as they did during the group stage, though. And then, to me, the biggest surprise was NRG going 0-5.
Really, the biggest surprise was Cloud9 going 1-4, because Cloud9 going 1-4...
No, that was, yes, that's the true surprise,
like,
of the weekend.
You know, they were playing so well leading up to it, or at least you felt like they were. And then came in, you know, you both had them going into the finals. I said I wouldn't be surprised if they made it pretty far, but to come in and just lose the way they lost, they didn't seem like they were in any game except for the G2 game, and even that now, just looking at it, it was like... just seems lucky at this point.
And we talked to Stewie after the group stage and everything at the event at the Verizon Theater. I think overall he seemed pretty sat with us anyways. He seemed pretty satisfied with the results and everything. But from other interviews, it looks like after time went on and he was asked the same question, he kind of seemed a little bit more frustrated with the team's mentality, where they're at with themselves right now and taking the game serious.
Well, you have somebody like Shroud who mentions retirement. You have somebody like Skadoodle who doesn't play CS anymore. I mean, he plays when it's tournament time and boot camps a little bit, but is never consistently playing. And really, I'm sure to him, it just feels like him and Automatic, and I guess Jordan also, just grinding, you know? And so I can see where the frustration comes in and why he said that he felt there was lack of motivation right now on the team.
Now, I said we wanted to talk a little bit about the format of ESL. Okay, going in, just so you know, there's two divisions, NA, EU. Top six from both sides go up. The complaint there with everyone is the fact that clearly there is better talent in EU. Like, you could almost go to the top 10 in EU and make a case on why they should be there compared to NA, where the top six. Like,
yeah, you could have booted NRG and put like Astralis in or FaZe in. I mean, those are the types of differentials we're talking about.
Right.
Teams.
Astralis and FaZe were not at this tournament, and they're arguably number one and two right at the moment
ranked
in
one
the
and
world
two right now. Yeah.
So a lot of people complain that it's not fair. We discussed on the preview episode a couple weeks ago that although it's not fair, that's what it is, and it's fair in the sense of it's six on six. If you don't like it, then qualify. Win your division and move on. So we thought, you know, why not ask a couple of the players? I thought it was pretty interesting. I mean, clearly a difference between if you ask an EU, if you ask a European what they think, and if you ask a North American what they think. We asked Simple first. He said what? 6 and 8?
Yeah,
he said 4. 4 and 8.
Yeah.
So he said just
give two to the other side.
Yeah, just give
two from
NA and
move it to
and be done there. We talked to Happy, which, by the way, all these full-length interviews, we have like 10 or 12 of them on our YouTube. We ended up, if you follow the show on Twitter, you would know this, at The Center Ring, but you can also follow us on YouTube. Go to our website for that, tcr.gg. We've posted all these interviews that we did throughout the weekend, so you can listen to all the full-length interviews. These are just some of the clips we wanted to break down. But we talked to Happy, by the way, one of my favorite interviews of the weekend, what he felt, and this is what he said.
I think a lot of pro players from EU actually think that it would be way much better if we had, for example, 7 slots. A 7-5 format is, for me at least, a really like fair format, and I think that ESL might consider it after so many seasons.
So again, European player thinking that you should just take some from the North American side and move them over. A little interesting fact of this tournament, we mentioned it last time, that it's an exact copy from last season in North America. The same exact 6 teams qualified for North America 2 years in a row. And if you look at the bottom 6 that were there, I mean, you have unknown teams. You have like Misfits and CLG and all them. They
Rush,
were down there.
Yeah.
But
Complexity,
I mean,
I think.
Yeah, but yeah. Really just obscure teams that stand no chance. And even if there was some way that they got through, it would end up being like NRG. And keep in mind, NRG got like fourth or third or something in
but
groups.
They're most likely to be the team to be swapped out if there was a different team.
You're looking at any given match, NRG is going to be, regardless of standing, that's where NRG is going to land. Now, I said on the opposite side of that coin, we asked a handful of NA players. We have the steal from Immortals audio, so I'll play that in a second, but what other NA players did we ask?
Tarek, right?
We asked, yes, we did ask Tarek.
Tarek wanted to just add two.
To both?
No, just add two teams to EU and leave NA at the same number as what he said. And he said,
oh, yes.
He goes, just add
that's
eight
what he said.
Teams, you know, make 8 teams EU and leave NA at 6. Because there's no point in adding 2 to the NA side. I mean,
no, you're going to have the,
yeah.
Like we said, you're literally going to have 2 teams that stand no chance in qualifying.
Yeah.
And then we also asked, I think it was Nitro. And Nitro basically said, nah, I think it's fair, you know. Sure, man. So but we did ask Steel again. Awesome interview. I was not expecting to have such a
yeah, I really enjoyed talking
high-leveled conversation with Steel.
Why is that?
Language barrier. But he actually...
Yeah, he was really good. I really enjoyed his interview.
Yeah, before they came in, we kind of went to Launders, who was there, which I feel is like our best friend. I feel like we're
family at this point. Yeah,
the mascot of the show, Launders. We actually hung out with him.
He pointed us in his direction and said he would be a good interview. And
yes.
And on top of the interview being good, super nice dude.
Dude.
I mean, the guy was like so nice and like... thanked us for the interview, which is weird. If you knew us, you'd probably agree with us. But he was like so nice and so polite and you know, like you said, well spoken.
The thing with all this is basically after every interview, I was like, my God, this is my new favorite team.
Yeah,
like you they were so friendly. Like after we interviewed Happy, I was like,
Dude, the French team surprised me so much. I was like, wow, like y'all are like
going ahead. We were like, man, the French team's kind of intimidating.
Yeah.
They're French.
Turned out to be North. North was a team we didn't even, you know, they came across as super intimidating. They were always on their own.
Yeah.
Kind of in a corner.
I mean, even at the hotel, they were like that, though.
Yeah.
So here's the steal talking about the ESL format.
I don't agree. I think this is fair. If they have six teams, why can, like, NA doesn't have six teams? I think it had to be equal because, I mean, I don't know. I don't think this, like, makes sense in my head because... North America, as I told you, the gap is getting closer and closer. I mean, we have like good teams from North America doing good on the tournaments. Cloud9 won the last Pro League.
SK the year before.
Yeah. So both wasn't like European teams. So how can they say that, you know?
And that was kind of the common thread on all NA teams is that they were like, well, I mean, NA's won the last two seasons. So what are they talking about them being the better ones? Where in this particular format, NA's one.
Well, and what they mentioned is like the top heavy teams are all competitive, right? Like the top three teams from NA can really compete on the EU stage. It's that drop off after that, and that's where this issue comes in.
And that is what has teams like FaZe out of it. FaZe, obviously, number one, number two in the world. You can probably make an argument for both cases ever since they added Nico. We spoke with Chris J of Mouse Sports about kind of how Mouse Sports has felt since Nico's departure, and here's what he had to say.
I think it can be hard for a team to like live up to Nico's potential because everybody has to play to his level. We have to win like basically every tournament, and that was something we couldn't handle yet as a team, I guess.
So that was him talking about how when Nico was on the team, they did feel that extra pressure of like,
we got to live up to Nico.
Yes,
we're letting him down.
Yes, exactly. Putting words in his mouth, but they felt like they were letting him down when they didn't go far in tournaments or majors even that they would qualify for, basically knowing that the only reason they qualified for him is because Nico had to get some crazy D-Eagle ace every game.
And they focused their game around him is kind of what he had mentioned, right? So once he departed the team, they added on ropes at that point. They have a freer and a little bit more loose play style now. And Oscar has also been, such a big part of that. He stepped into the opping role and done so well for him.
I was glad we talked to him because, you know, outside looking in, when that move happened, it was like, wow, the Mouse guys must, like, just hate his guts. But I didn't get that talking to Chris J. It was like, yeah, I mean, you know, we felt like we were kind of letting him down. And
holding
him
back.
It's easier now looking at it because they've been doing well, right?
Like, yeah, if they were
horrendous and they all of a sudden
off.
Went to like, but you know, just a 1-10 team, it would have been a different story, I
Well,
feel.
I mean, they've been playing together for a while and that they're I'm sure they're still tight, right? Like,
They seem like they're all fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think.
In fact, a lot of the teams, for example, I always thought the French Shuffle would have made the Envious and G2. Hey, from the outside, you always felt like
they were best
they
friends.
Must hate each other.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, from the outside.
Yeah, they were playing in the pool and playing chicken.
And doing whatever.
That's the friendly, like, outside the game side, but we were talking to who was it? I think it was Shock. Maybe it wasn't Shock.
It was Shock.
Somebody said, it was like, we don't want them to be second. We want them to be last because we're the team. Like, we're this country's team. Like, we want to be number one. We don't want them to be number two.
Well, he said he always wanted them to do well, but he wanted to make sure they were the number one French team.
Right.
So he's like, if we weren't playing them, hey, as long as they're not doing better than we are, we're fine with them, right? So it's a pride thing, just like NA, same thing. You want to be number one NA. But no, definitely no hatred.
China
there.
Number one.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God. You do. You went there.
China number one. good times. So let's get on, though, with the show here. We'll just wrap this up with a little bit of e-news.
The production value.
Well, the thing, it's all computers, right? They freeze up sometimes. It happens. But yes, it is time for e-news, your weekly segment of headline news, just things that we just don't have time to go full in depth or care to. Let's keep on Counter-Strike, though. Misfits ended up, and this happened at the event, Saturday? They ended up breaking the news that they are benching, which we all know what that means, releasing, kicking off the team, Shazam.
Via Twitter.
Via Twitter, in the most uncomfortable tweet from a franchise I think I've ever seen announcing a player. You could almost taste the salt as you were reading the
you
tweet.
You could feel them backing the bus up over
do you? I don't have it in front of me, but it basically said, like, because Shazam doesn't really give an F and not coming to boot camp, he's done. Like, if you take the literal translation to their tweet, that's basically what it means. Even in the press room, I feel like everyone other than the guys from HLTV thought that was kind of a dirty move because it just paints Shazam in a really ugly light where you just don't know the whole story. I have one more piece of audio here. We ended up talking to Tarek from Optic Gaming over the weekend, and I asked him, because we in the interview, there was the discussion of a boot camp, how they were going to start boot camping for Cologne, and I asked him, you know, hey, if one of your guys didn't show up to the boot camp, how would that work out? So I have here, do you have the tweet, though, before I start? Yeah.
So it says, CSGO update, we have decided to bench Shazam for the minor due to his inability to commit to coming to the gaming house. It's in the best interest to have someone present, which will yield the most productive boot camp possible as we focus on this event. So it was just like...
just the word
we got
inability.
A lot of detail, which in esports is weird to get any detail on...
anything.
...an issue like this. So for them to be so upfront and just throw it out there seemed odd.
Just the word inability just seems like such a low blow. Like,
we're all waiting on Shazam's response at this right. point.
So here is Tarek's thought on all of that.
I would definitely say it is. I'm surprised that even happens. I don't really believe the fact that he said no to a boot camp. I don't know why anyone would. Boot camps are usually maybe 1 to 2 weeks, and this is, at the end of the day, our full-time job. There's no reason that someone shouldn't be able to go to a boot camp. I feel like there's more to that story, apart from him just not attending a boot camp. And it's not...
And he went on to say it's not acceptable to miss a boot camp. It was cut off because, for whatever reason, my SD card and my recorder decided to literally die at the very...
last
thankfully,
word.
It was like the last word of the interview. My SD card just thought, hey, wouldn't it be fun if I just had to be reformatted? That this is cool, right? So thankfully, we did not lose any important audio from all of that. Again, it's kind of weird, but... whatever. Shazam's off the team. He'll probably join another one because, oddly enough, he was, like, destroying teams. Like, he was probably playing the best he has.
He's going back to C9. Schedule's been in a while.
Don't even play. Don't even play. Outside. Oh, wait. Actually, one more, and I think, Nuge, you actually have this. The DreamHack Summer Group were announced.
Yep. So, it starts June 17th, and two groups again, four teams each. Group A is SK, Mouse Sports, Immortals, and Singularity, a new team to kind of the scene for outsiders, because you don't see them on, you know...
yeah, they're major... from the EU qualifier, yeah. I believe.
So that's nice to see a new team in here, a new face. Group B, Gambit, Fnatic, Cloud9, and CLG. So both groups fairly evenly matched for the most part. No totally lopsided group, but, you know, I would say...
six-team tournament.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely a six-team tournament. I will be interested to see, though, because I am 99% sure that's also the same weekend as a qualifier for the major for most of those guys. So I think during the weekend, they're also going to find out if they have qualified for the major or not. So that could make a very long weekend for some. Moving away from Counter-Strike, Northern Gaming defeats Mocket Esports in the Rocket League World Championship. Did you guys watch any of this?
I did, to be honest. Yeah, it was
fun. I watched
fun.
A little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it It's insane. I feel like so far behind the curve.
So,
I can't even do an aerial
Rocket League's a weird thing. Like, it's a nice game because anyone can watch it, right? It's you put the ball in the hole.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't even have it installed anymore because it is my most rage-inducing, least fun to play game. The skill and learning curve in that game,
yeah,
is unlike any. Like, even in like the lowest ranked bronze or whatever it is, I am just getting destroyed.
So me and Kamar actually play that game in our Rifts. So we put our Oculus Rifts on and play it. Now it doesn't have the head motion movement on there, but it feels pretty cool because you feel like you're in the arena and you play on the big screen type thing. So it's kind of neat, but it is, you know, it's a pretty easy game to rage on. It's and fun, it, though. I enjoy it.
It pulled numbers, though.
Dude, that's what I was about to say. Did it end up breaking 200?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was insane.
Like, it
I was
it like, had over 200,000 viewers.
On Twitch.
For Rocket League on Twitch.
That's pretty crazy.
So you want to talk about how YouTube is hurting Twitch's numbers as far as, like, if your game's on YouTube, you're probably not going to make a big pull? I promise you, because if that was on YouTube, I would never have known.
No.
Never would have seen it. But because I saw Rocket League being number one on Twitch, I was like, what's this about?
Same deal with me. That's how I started watching it. I'm like, oh, cool. Let's see what's going on.
Yep.
Oh, huh. There's a tournament going on. Look at that. Neat.
And in other news, we're all wondering why it took them so long. Mountain Dew announces that they have sponsorship deals with Dignitas, Splice, and SK Gaming. So Mountain Dew's finally getting into esports just to put to rest the stereotype of Mountain Dew and Doritos.
It's a good sponsorship.
It's a big corporation, yeah. I mean, what do they get? Free Mountain Dew?
Well, they said they're going to make a new line of drinks that are like energy-based drinks for gamers.
Gross.
You know what that means. Powerade type thing,
I was
going to
say, isn't Mountain Dew already the most highly sugar caffeinated drink?
Mountain Dew spiked raspberry lemonade right now.
Gross.
140 calories, not too bad.
So I know I'm getting old because I used to drink Mountain Dew like a madman, and now I have to drink diet Mountain Dew because if I drink normal Mountain Dew, it's like I'm keeling over because the amount of sugar and like my body cannot handle it.
No.
Getting old sucks. Don't do it.
Don't do it, kids.
And that's the youngest one on the show saying that. So I can't imagine what you guys do.
Oh, man. I'm falling apart.
And then the rare appearance of an official Overwatch tournament happened over the weekend. Take TV Overwatch TakeOver 2 tournament happened where Rogue ended up defeating E-United. So Rogue doesn't really seem to be losing any pace there. The teams were pretty much as figured. Rogue winning, E-United being second. I think Cloud9 got fourth. So, I mean, that's pretty much as you expect right now in the scene of Overwatch. I think the more and more, or the closer you get to this Blizzard Contender League going on, I think the closer and closer you're going to get to see the actual Overwatch League starting. But we said that like a year and a half ago when Blizzard announced it. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that. But I can tell you what's going to happen to the show. And that is that we're done. Episode 62 in the books. I want to thank you all for listening. Even if you skipped through the show, I love you all the same. Let us know what you think on Twitter at The Center Ring. You can also go to our website, tcr.gg. You will find our YouTube links there. Again, all the interviews from ESL Pro League Weekend there. Some pretty good entertaining stuff that you will enjoy. You can also follow us on Instagram. You'll get some things there. I think that's it. Instagram, Twitter.
NA Major 2017.
Maybe ESL is pitching for an NA Major. That might come down the works. If it does, we were right. If we were wrong,
it's at the end of the show. You're probably not listening anymore anyway.
Nope. But that's what we call insurance. Again, thank you so much for listening. Please follow the show on Twitter at The Center Ring. Like and share. Do whatever you can to spread the word. Until then, we'll see you for episode 63. Bye.